Well, this morning I was going to preach on three things that you are doing to destroy your child's faith. And started working on the first one, and kind of actually became the whole sermon. So we're going to turn that into a series, and it's going to be the Destroying Faith series. And it's not just your children. You know, you might say, hey, I don't have any children. It's the people around you, people that are looking at you. You know, they're just saying that you might be the only Bible that somebody reads. And are you building up your faith, or are you destroying the faith of others? And so this morning we're going to talk about one thing that you are doing to destroy your faith and the faith of those around you, especially your children. Jesus said anyone who destroys the faith of a child, it'd be better that a millstone were put around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. So this is a very serious thing. This morning we're going to be talking about complaining. Complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of someone else's mouth, but not yours. Specifically, we're going to be talking about three sins that are connected to complaining. And we're going to see some examples in the Old Testament and the book of Numbers. The first one is the sin of desire or unthankfulness. But even before we get to the story, God gives us kind of a footnote or a, here's the whole story in a nutshell version. In Numbers 11, verses 1 through 3, we see what God thinks of complaining. When we complain, here's what God thinks of it. Numbers 11, 1 through 3 says, "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of them in the outskirts of the camp. And the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them." Well, God hears our complaints, and he doesn't take them lightly. Philippians 2, 14 through 16 says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." You see, when we are children of God, Jesus said we're supposed to be a light to the world. But when we complain, it's like blowing your own light out. Nobody can see. Nobody can be illumined by God, what God is doing in your life. Reminds me of an older lady who had no affinity for contemporary worship. She's complaining about a particular song that was used in the worship service at her church. Another person responded, "Why, that is not a new song. It's a very old song. David sang that song to Saul." The older lady replied, "Well, now for the first time I understand why Saul threw the javelin at him when he sang." Unthankfulness, desiring what we don't have. The story continues in Numbers 11. "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. See, they were ungrateful. They're unthankful. Here they are in the middle of a desert, traveling. God had delivered them from the Egyptians, saved them. And He had just given them the law. He had provided for them several times already in their wanderings. And now they're complaining again. Even right after God consumed some of them with the fire, you thought they might have woken up. Nope. Their imaginations. Oh, I remember when I had this. Oh, I remember when I had that. Oh, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. James 1, 14 through 15 says, "Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." You see, there's two ways of going about things. There's the world's way and there's God's way. The world's philosophy says it is good to be motivated by desire. Set a goal out there of something that you want and then go for it. Work hard for that goal and work hard for it. Maybe it's you want to have a nice new car. And so you start saving up money and you work hard to get that nice new car. Whatever it is, it's a good thing to be motivated by desire. That's not what God says, and that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says that we should be motivated by our faith and be motivated by obedience to God. Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus means doing all in accordance with who Jesus was. Being obedient to Him. Romans 14:23 says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." As a Christian, we need to change our motivation. It's not to go out there and please ourselves anymore. It's to go out there and be obedient to our Lord and Savior and to please Him. And all that we should be doing is believe that what we are doing is what God wants us to do. Whatever is not from faith is sin. We see the consequence in the children of Israel of their desires. Chapter 11, verse 31 It says, "Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. He who gathered the least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague." And so He called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because they were buried, the people who had yielded to craving. You might think, wow, that's a little drastic. That's a little mean-spirited that God would go out and kill people who wanted some quail. You see, so often God allows us, when we have a desire or a craving for something that we should not be having a desire for, maybe it's not even a bad thing, but it's something that God doesn't want us to have. Because we're not doing in obedience to Him. We're not doing it in faith. God allows us oftentimes to obtain that which we're working for. But so many times, the fulfillment of that desire is so worthless. We work hard, we obtain, and we're not happy. Because the happiness, the fulfillment, the peace, that comes from God. And so we have to do it His way. We have to do it in accordance to His will. And that is not what the children of Israel are doing. They're murmuring, complaining, ungrateful. Carol decided she wanted to do something nice for her neighbor, Mrs. Smith. So she baked a pie and carried it next door. When Mrs. Smith opened up her door, she was surprised to see her holding a pie. And she replied, "Is this for me? Oh, thank you so much. You just don't know how much I appreciate it. You are so thoughtful for doing this. Thank you." Because Mrs. Smith liked the pie so much, Carol decided the next week to bake her another one. When she took it over, Mrs. Smith opened the door and said, "Thank you so much. You are so kind." Carol took another pie over the following week, and Mrs. Smith simply replied, "Thanks." Carol took another pie over the next week, and Mrs. Smith responded, "You are a day late with that pie." The following week, Carol baked her another pie, and this time her neighbor said, "Try using a little more sugar and don't bake it quite as long. The crust has been a little bit hard lately, and I'd like a cherry instead of an apple filling next time." The next week, Carol was so busy she was unable to cook for her neighbor. When Carol passed by her house on the way to the store, Mrs. Smith looked through the window and noticed she wasn't carrying a pie. And she stuck her head out the window and yelled, "Where's my pie?" It's so easy to get used to our blessings. After enjoying them for a while, we begin to think we deserve them. And then instead of being thankful, we complain. It's a process that occurs so slowly that we don't even realize it's happening. The sin of unthankfulness or desiring. There's another sin that's connected with complaining, and that is the sin of rejection. Rejecting what God wants for us. Numbers 14, 1 through 4 says, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices." Now, this is right. They've completed their march across the desert. They are right on the border to go into the promised land. The spies have been sent in. They have come back and given their report. Two spies said, "Yes, God is with us. We can take this land. His favor is upon us. It is a wonderful land." And 10 spies said, "Huh, there's giants in this land. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nice land, but there ain't no way we're going to be able to do anything here. We'll be destroyed." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the whole assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. So many times when we complain, it's because we don't want to do the very thing God has called us to do. And we see God's response to the children of Israel. He says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.'" God is so angry. He's ready to just start over. Forget these people. Earlier he said, these people are a stiff-necked people. Moses is able to talk to God and say, "You know, God, if you did that, the Egyptians, they'd probably say bad things about you. And you brought us out here, so forgive the people." So God's anger is maybe alleviated a little bit. But there's a consequence. There's a consequence for rejecting what God has called you to do. In Numbers 14, 26 through 33, we find out, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me, and say to them, As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness." God does not take our complaining lightly. Complaining is so easy. The heart naturally drifts towards complaint, as if by gravitational pull. After all, complaint seems a reasonable response to a sequence of disappointing events. Generally, you don't have to extend an invitation for a complaint to show up. It arrives as an uninvited guest. You return home from yet another frustrating day to discover that complaint has moved into your guest room, unpacked its luggage, started a load of laundry, and is rooting through your fridge. Even as you seek to dislodge complaint, as you move its bags to the curb and change the locks, it crawls back through the guest room window. Complaint resists eviction. Before we know it, complaint feels right because it is familiar. With every struggle, we become the Israelites murmuring in the desert. We miss the faith lessons that God desires to prepare us and build things into us. But we are hunkered down in our pattern of response. We need to wake up and notice what is happening. How do we evict the spirit of complaint? I have heard it said that bad movement pushes out good movement, and good movement pushes out bad movement. We can discourage complaint's residency in our lives by inviting another guest to move in with us. And that new guest is trust. When we choose to trust in the face of deep disappointment, complaint has less space to maneuver. While attempting to unpack for an extended stay, it discovers that trust has taken all of the drawers in the guest room and has already occupied the empty seat at the table. Trust evicts complaint. Trust and complaint are incompatible roommates. One inevitably pushes out the other. So the question is, which one's in your guest bedroom? You see, sin is anything that displeases God. Some people hold up the Ten Commandments. Those are all good things to follow. But sin, missing the mark, is anything that displeases God. And complaining greatly displeases God. So we have the sin of desire. We have the sin of rejection. And we also have the sin of bitterness. Loathing God's provision. Job, in his affliction, said, "My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint, and I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." That's where complaint comes in. It's when you are so tired of your situation, you're so tired of whatever is going on, you say, "I don't even care anymore." Complaint just runs free. Numbers 21, 4 through 6. They are now marching around, wandering in the wilderness. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged along the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Sometimes we can get to that very situation. Our desire for something else has grown up, and it has conceived sin. We are rejecting God's plan for our life, our circumstances that He has called us to remain faithful in. And we are saying, "I want to do things my own way. I have a better plan." And now we've become bitter towards God. "My plan was better, and now I have to do this. I have to do it your way." And I become bitter. Loathing God's provision. 1 Corinthians 10:6 through 11 says, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Paul is saying these things are written down for us to learn from their mistakes. We can make the same mistakes as they did and go through the same consequences that they did. Or we can look at these stories and say, "You know what? Maybe I shouldn't be complaining. Maybe that's something that God really doesn't want me to do. And I can learn from their example and not have to go through the same consequence." You see, there is an example here. And in this final example, we see God's heart. He hates complaining because at the root of it, it is a rejection of Him. How many times have you given something to somebody And instead of being thankful, they say, oh, well, I wanted the blue one. Oh, well, I wanted this way. Oh, this isn't even hot anymore. Oh, this is too cold. And you're like, I'm sorry I even gave it to you. But God's mercy is on those who repent and turn to Him. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. You see, we go through our lives and we pray and we ask God for different things, and then we wonder why He doesn't ever listen to us. Why am I not getting a response? And the whole time I'm out here complaining. On Sunday morning I go to church and trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then on Monday I'm calling my friend and saying, oh, my life is so miserable. Oh, I don't even know how I'm just going to be able to make it through this week. And on Tuesday, I'm telling somebody else about, oh, do you believe my husband and all the horrible things he's done this week? And the last month and the last year and the last lifetime. And we complain and we complain. The weather's no good. It's too wet. It's too dry. And the whole time, the Lord is hearing this and saying, stop. Stop it already. I'm in control here. I am providing for you here. But God's mercy on those who repent. The rest of the story in Numbers 21 says, for the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He takes away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. And so Moses made a bronze serpent and he put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. You see, God made a way. Even though the children of Israel were guilty and they deserved to be punished for their sin, they said, take this punishment away from us. And Christ, and God says, no, I'm not going to take it away from you, but I will send you a way to be healed. They put a fiery serpent upon a pole. They said, if you look to that serpent, then you will not die. And John chapter 3 says, in the same way, in that same way that the fiery serpent set upon a pole saved those people, Christ was set upon a pole to take our sin, our complaints, our guiltiness, and He bore the consequence on the cross. And anyone who looks to Him will be saved. And we have no right to complain. There's an old Persian fable of a hen and a mouse and a rabbit who lived together in a little house. They were happy and contented because they shared all the work. The rabbit cooked the meals, the chicken carried in the firewood, and the mouse brought the water from the nearby brook. Each did his work faithfully and contentedly. One day, while the hen was going to the forest for a wood, a busybody crow asked her what she was doing. When told, the crow complained that the hen was doing the hardest part of the work and that the rabbit and mouse were making an easy mark of her. Try as she would, the thought kept rankling in the hen's mind. And when she returned home with her load of wood and her still heavier load of discontent, she cackled, I do the hardest work ever. We ought to change our jobs. Discontent spreads, as you know. And immediately the rabbit and mouse also thought they had been doing the hardest work. And they agreed to change jobs. The mouse would cook, the rabbit would gather the firewood, and the hen would bring the water. As the rabbit hopped into the woods, a big fox trailed him, caught him, and ate him. The chicken put the pail into the creek, but the current pulled the pail down under, and the chicken with it. The mouse wondered why they did not come back, but not for long. While he was sitting on the edge of the big pot of soup, he lost his balance and fell in. Through discontent, all three not only lost their happiness, but their very lives. And I wonder how many times we repeat that story over and over again in our own lives. How many times do we become discontent with the very things God has called us to do? And we lose our happiness, the joy. What's the answer? The psalmist said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and restore the joy of your salvation." Let's pray. Dear gracious God, Lord, I feel like I've been preaching to a mirror this morning. I know I'm so guilty of this myself, complaining, not showing appreciation to you for all that you do for me. Continually supply me with everything that I need. You bless me with innumerable blessings. And my praise and my encouragement, my response to you is just complaint. Lord, I just pray that you would help us take this lesson from the Old Testament. Lord, that you would help us to not complain. Lord, that we would replace our complaint with trust in you. Replace our complaint with praise. And thank you for all that you do. Lord, help us to see our complaint as sin, something that greatly displeases you. And Lord, turn away from it. And instead, be thankful in all things, rejoice evermore, and pray without ceasing. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.